Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Miscommunication. You are here with Claudia and my wonderful, you know, twin Kelly. How are you today? I say twin because, like, we think pretty much the same thing all the time.
We do. We are like brain twins as far as, like, the if we were physical twins, I'd be two-thirds of the twindom. But, I'm great. I'm great. I got to see my mom for a minute today, and literally just a minute she came to pick up her dog. I have one dog with me now, and he's getting all the attention, and that makes him happy. So
I bet that makes him very, very happy.
He is. And let's start with this before we get into the stuff that we really actually want to talk about. I found out some stuff today, and it leads me to ask you this question. We're just diving straight in. Have you ever been catfished online?
Not to my knowledge, and I say that meaning, like, you know, maybe. There was, back when you and I first met online, and let it be known, if this is your first time listening to the show, Kelly and I have actually met in person, so we know that we really exist and are who we say we are. But when we first met on Twitter, there was another dude, and I cannot remember his name, but he was supposed to do...
I remember that.
Yeah.
This is when we were starting the Big Brother thing with Doug.
Yes, he was supposed to do the Big Brother show with us, and he was super nice. Like, he and I, like, were DMing on Twitter about the show and other stuff, and he was, like, messaging with our other host, and, like, everything was cool. And then one day, he just disappeared. He, like, blocked all of us, wouldn't respond to message, nothing. He just went away. So we decided that he catfished us. We have no clue why, and it really didn't make any sense, but that was the only explanation we could come up with. So, I mean, other than... Are you, like...
Sorry.
What in the world was...
I was other wrapping than, up a bag of popcorn. Sorry, I'm starving.
No. my strong affinity for the show Catfish, and I do love me some catfish on the show, that's probably my best catfish experience. But I think that you might have a catfish story.
Oh, I have a fantastic story. Okay, we all know that my biggest, I guess, affinity in life is to talk about UK sports. When it's football season, even though we're terrible, I will talk to you all day long about UK football. If it's basketball season, we all know that I'm going to get on Twitter and talk some UK basketball. And there's a group of people here in Kentucky. They're all, actually, I can't say they're all just here in Kentucky because we're everywhere. But, you know, there's a group of us. We all interact on Twitter. And there's some things that you just have to take at face value. Like, some of those people I've met, I've seen, I've worked with, I've talked to on radio shows. I know they're real people. Well, I follow a big, 9 times out of 10, if you're a UK fan and you have some kind of UK picture in your profile, or you have a hashtag BBN in your little Twitter bio and you follow me, I'm going to follow you back, just because if you follow me, then I'm sure you probably have something interesting to say as well, because it has to be because of a mutual respect and appreciation for our beloved cat. Now, this person followed me, I don't know, 2-3 months ago. I just followed them back because, you know, that's like I said, she had,
how you roll.
You know, exactly. Talking about, you know, I'm all cats all day, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, this person seems like fun. I read through some of her tweets. I was like, yeah, she seems like a cool person to follow because she actually maybe seems like she knows what she's talking about. So we probably about a month ago, maybe, she sends me a direct message. And so we started, you know, messaging back and forth, you know, kind of, I thought developing maybe a friendship of sorts. Throughout the, we were probably, I guess, quote unquote, friends for, like I said, for about a month. In that month, and this should have been a huge red flag, and I say that now, but, you know, I should have realized a long time ago. The thing that really got us connected, I'm a big fan of, I'm not going to go into many details about it, but I'm a big fan of a radio show. If you've listened before, you probably know what I'm talking about. But she said, in one of her first messages to me, she said that she had dated one of the guys that's on that show. And I'm like, I think that's amazing. Like, and so, you know, like she would tell me all about, like, all about that relationship. Oh, we've been together for about 6 months, and it's great. And we had, you know, I supported him when he was doing this, and I supported him when he was doing that, and I supported him when he was doing stupid stuff, but he never takes me out in public and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, he never takes you out. And now, of course, I'm saying he never takes you out in public because you're not real. Well, she...
I just realized who you're talking about.
Did I tell you about her?
Yes.
So anyway, she tells me one day, probably about 2-3 weeks ago, probably about the middle of December. So it's probably been about 2-3 weeks. She told me that he, I did tell you about this because I was mad at him for doing this.
Yes.
She told her she was just a booty call, and she was nothing more to him than, you know, than some place to sleep when he needed a place to stay, and like she meant nothing, and blah blah blah, and it really affected my opinion of him, because I was like, you know, I respect what you do professionally, but how can you treat people that way, you know? Well, she goes from, you know, that was her, you know, quote unquote breakup with him. And then she jumped right into dating this other, like, well-known person in the state, who is also involved in radio. Of course, for anonymity's sake, I'll tell you later, but for anonymity's sake, for our other seven listeners, you know, I won't go into detail about who that was. But, I mean, they... she met him like far, I don't know, at a game or something, and then they started seeing, and he DM'd her on Twitter, and they started texting, and by her account, she told me that they fell in love, and they they were going to get, yeah, by the end of the year, they were going to be married, according to what he was saying to her. Yeah, all this stuff. Today, one of our mutual friends, and this is probably, this is the good thing that came out of it. She said that she knew this man who is just super well-respected in UK media, who I have nothing but respect for. I've read his articles on his website for years, and I will say his name is Larry Vaught, and he is the best. And I got to meet him at one of the UK women's games, and now when I go to games, I get to sit with him at press conferences, and that makes people think you're important. If you sit next to Larry Vaught at UK press conferences, people think you are more important than you actually are in reality. So some people that don't actually know who I am think I'm important when it comes to UK media, which let me tell you right now, I'm not important, but that's another story for in a few minutes. Anyway, so he messages me today on Twitter. He says, it's been an eventful few days, because Sunday I get a call. She calls me, because we had gone that far. She was like, she would call me, and we would talk on the phone, and like I thought we were actually friends. So she would call me, you know, we text all the time, and I'm like, you know, she's legit because Larry knows her. She's legit. No, No, Larry texted me, and I said, he said, it's been an eventful few days. And I was like, sure, has. That's an understatement. Because I'm thinking he's talking about, like, she broke up with this other guy that she apparently just 1 week ago fell in love with. So they ended things on Sunday. So I'm like, yeah, it's been pretty eventful. And he was like, you know, I never met her, so it kind of shocked me. And I was like, wait a minute. What are you talking about? Sure enough, she's not real. This stuff with said radio show employee never happened. Stuff with this other guy that she said she, quote-unquote, fell in love with over the past 2 weeks never happened. Basically, everything she said to me, completely false. So I got bamboozled, man. I got, and I will, you know, like the people that were also, I guess, bamboozled with me, we talked about this on this afternoon, and we were just like, you've got to be kidding me, because, like, she made up some really good stories, you know, about, you know, dating this guy and, you know, breaking up with him because he said she's just a booty call, and then dating somebody else, and, you know, who's not a non-household name. You know, and I'm like, how do you go from dating, you know, how do you go from dating that guy to the other guy that you dated? Like, how do you do that? Number one, how do you do that? Number two, how do you do that? Number three, how is your imagination so active that you're gonna make that stuff up? Like,
yeah. So how did we discover that this is all fake?
Apparently, what happened was somehow or another, the guy that she was supposedly dating this last go-round.
The new guy that she's in love with,
yeah,
getting married.
The new guy.
Okay.
The new guy, yes, perfect. They're getting married before the end of the year. He loves her, she loves him, it's all great, and life is grand.
Fantastic. Love it.
Absolutely. Amazing. No, he apparently, because, you know, like, I saw them interact on Twitter, so I'm like, you know, she is a real person, she just completely misrepresented herself on Twitter. So, but, you know, like, I saw them interact on Twitter, and it, you know, like, I thought it was fun. I thought it was cute. Because I was like, oh, look, they're a couple, and they're interacting on Twitter, and I think that's adorable. But, no, so, you know, and that's what, you know, that guy contacted our friend Larry, and Larry messaged me, and he was like, you know, we need to talk. Get in touch with me. And, I mean, like, to find out, because I was actually, I mean, like, you and I developed our friendship really, really quickly. And, I mean, like, we were pretty much best friends before I even, you know, just for giggles, told you to check out flights to come to Denver for the Shinedown concert. You know, so I have that, I mean, part of me, I guess I would call it, I'm gullible to an extent. I'm naive to the point that I would think that, you know, like, people wouldn't do that. You know, like, people wouldn't do that. But, oh, yeah. Oh, yes, they do. And apparently her whole motive, because when some people and I started talking about it, the whole focus of all of this was for her to be able to write for a UK sports blog.
Oh, okay.
You know,
I was wondering, like, what the motive was.
Like, I write for a UK another guy that writes with me on our site.
You didn't make a bunch of shit up?
No, I didn't.
You didn't catch anybody?
I didn't, and because I told Larry, I said, hey, how about you have this guy that she whatever, you know, quote unquote, whatever, like had him message me because I really do want to talk to him about this. Like, and I'll tell you more about how odd that's going to be after a while when we're not being recorded. But, I mean, you know, I was like, I would like to discuss this with him just because, like, of the just absolute ridiculousness of it all. But, of course, he's a little shy about sending anybody a direct message on Twitter right now.
Well, like,
it's understandable. you think it's kind of odd. But, I mean, it's when it's, I've been thinking all afternoon, I'm like, I'm such a freaking idiot. Like, we were going to go to the UK game next week, or in a week or two, or 2 weeks, actually. It was 2 weeks. But she was going to take me with her to a UK game. We were playing on, our friend Larry just retired from the job he was in for 40 years, and he was having a retirement party on the 22nd. We were going to that together. And now all of a sudden, like, she's not real.
Does she know that you know?
I think she probably does because I immediately blocked her number on my phone. I blocked her on Twitter and I blocked her on Instagram. So I would imagine that she probably, and she texted a mutual friend that she had told my friend that I write with, she had told him all the same kind of details about all this stuff. She
didn't
apparently share all the details with everybody about, you know, those two quote-unquote relationships. She would just kind of try to get in with them to see if they would, you know, get her into write. That's what she wanted. That was her main goal. Like, if you want to write, how about you submit an article? Like, send in a writing sample to any website, because that's what I did. And now, look, I'm covering UK games for the website on occasion. Like, you can do it. You don't have to catfish people.
No, because you're going to get caught.
Exactly. Like, and her stories, like, she told us that she was a model, that she, 25, already had her master's degree in education, was going to start on her PhD in the fall, or in the spring, excuse me. So she's supposed to start her PhD here in a couple of weeks, I guess. You know, now I had my master's degree at 23, so I'm, you know, that's not a big deal, but
that's not crazy.
Like, it's not completely outlandish, but I mean, like, you know, she was teaching at one of the elementary schools in Lexington, and she stopped teaching because she got approached in Nashville to model. So now, since she got approached to model, she had been to, like, Italy and Spain and Los Angeles and New York. And, of course, her quote-unquote modeling trips always coincided with the game. So in Kentucky played UCLA, she was there. Of course they did. She was there when we played in New York, when we played Ohio State a few weeks ago, which a lot of us would like to forget. You know, she just happened to be in town for that one, too. So, I mean, like, completely bamboozled. I mean, like completely. Like, I'm
crazy.
Still sitting here feeling pretty stupid.
Well, here's the biggest problem is, like, nobody really knows what she looks like. So,
well, see, that's
like,
the thing, because, like, she would interact on Twitter with one of my friends who's a producer at one of the Lexington radio stations, and I messaged him today after I found out. And I was like, hey, do you know her? He's like, I know her uncle. Turns out she DM'd him once trying to I love spreading all this UK drama around. I love it. UK media
love
drama.
It.
Look at us. Look at us. We're a media-driven. We're a drama-driven bunch here. But, no, she DM'd him to try to see if she could write for the site that he writes for. And he was like, you know, like, no, no, you can't. There's just him and the guy that owns the site, and they don't, you know, nobody else writes for them. It's just them. But he said that, like, her uncle works at the radio station with him. And another guy, or a friend of one of the guys that works at the radio station, actually dated her at some point or something. And when my friend showed that guy her profile picture that she was using on Twitter, he's like, yeah, that's not her. That's not who she is. That's not even close to who she is. So, you know, she's using somebody's pictures, and a friend of mine is doing that reverse photo search thing a little bit later, and he's going to share those results with me, and I'm super excited to see
me too.
Who the picture is of. Yeah, because, I mean, of course, I'm texting you immediately. But, I mean, this is, and I mean, like, I'm still sitting here feeling, you know, pretty stupid. But it's also, at the same time, it's pretty funny. Because she had her story, like, I don't know, well rehearsed.
Yeah.
Because she told me and the guy that I write with at the site told us the exact same thing about the two situations with the two guys. Exact same things. And so, you know, like, she did slip up once because she told me when the first night that she DM'd me, she was like, she was talking about her mom had passed away a few months ago. And I was like, man, that sucks, you know, because, like, I don't have a dad because mine died. So, you know, I kind of feel your pain on losing a parent. And she was like, and then, like, just the other day, on Sunday, when they quote unquote broke up, she was like, yeah, my mom said she was really happy that she never had to meet him. And I kind of, at first, I was like, well, you know, because I've slipped up and called Jack my dad before. You know, like, my mom and dad are coming. And then I'm like, wait, my dad's dead. So it's my mom and stepdad. You know. So I thought, you know, like, maybe she calls her stepmom a mom. But, you know, if her mom died 3 months ago, then her dad's not already going to be remarried.
Well, you would hope.
Unless they've been divorced. I mean, you got to be kidding.
It is entirely possible, but you would hope not.
I mean, it is. It is, but... I mean, you gotta be kidding me. Like, what? This is probably somebody who, and it's sad but true, somebody who, like, lives in their parents' basement. And she was just making fun of somebody the other day for living or being or having family members that lived in their basement or something. And I'm like, you know, and now come to find out, she probably lives in her parents' basement and is, you know, right there, probably not listening to us right now because I blocked her on every social media possible. So she's not gonna be able to listen to any of this. But so it's
wow,
it's pretty funny.
I love that story, I have to tell you. I applaud her commitment to wanting to do something. However, she is a nutcase. I do not know her personally, and I am not a doctor, but nutcase is how I personally would classify this particular individual, because what makes no sense is, like, talking crap about person A, like, that's not going to get her any favors. And then, like, using these people that are, like, so well known, like, that's going to get you quickly.
I mean, that's the thing, though. She never met him, like, the first one. She never met him. Never met him. Not one time. Ever.
Wow.
But
nutcase. And the worst part
I mean,
like, at the next UK game, that nutcase could be sitting right beside you and you won't even know it because you don't know what the nutcase looks like.
Right.
You need your friend who has the friend who actually dated Nutcase, and that's her new name, like, he needs to provide you guys with a photo of Nutcase, because all you people need to know what Nutcase looks like. Definitely.
True story.
Yes. I mean, definitely. So, all right. So the lesson to our three listeners, don't catfish people. That's just rude. Rude.
Don't catfish people. And if you can't find somebody, if you can't find somebody to vouch for somebody else, like, I would limit how invested you try to let yourself get. Because, I mean, like, I thought she was legit because she knew, you know, like, when she would talk about friend Larry, she was like, he's like my family. You know, he's like family. And I'm like, you know, wow. Wow.
And he doesn't even know her.
He's never met her.
Wow.
Yes. So everything that she told me about him, everything that she told me about relationship A and relationship B, you know, completely false. Completely false.
I mean, here's what I think you need to take as a positive is that Nutcase found you so important in this UK world that she chose you to catfish. I think that's how you need to look at this. Don't beat yourself up for being naive. Don't beat yourself up for, like, giving somebody the benefit of the doubt. But just be proud in the fact that Nutcase found you important enough to catfish to try to get a job as a writer for a website. I think that's how you need to look at this.
I mean, good luck.
I mean, I'm trying. I'm really trying. But, yeah, so don't catfish people. And, yeah, just don't. Like, I wonder what you would have done, like, when you guys were going to go somewhere together. Like, I wonder if she would have done the typical catfish and, like, had to cancel last minute, or, like, what would have happened. Fairly interested in knowing how she would have played that out. But I guess we'll never know.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I mean, yes. Right? What in the world? What in the...
Yes.
Unbelievable.
I have a feeling that Nutcase is going to turn up. New Nutcase.
This is...
New profile, new Nutcase.
Exactly. And this is the thing. The way she found me, and I think this, if I remember right, this is the day that she started following me. There was a Twitter, like a, I guess like a thread that I was in with these people talking about people who had, you know, they had discovered were not real. And I'm like, you know, that's kind of crazy. You know, I feel like you should, you know, find somebody who can vouch for you. You know, like, I've met plenty of people. I say that like I'm trying to, like, you know, toot my own horn. But, I mean, like, plenty of the people that I interact with on Twitter, like, I have met. So, you know, it's not just like, hey, I'm sitting in my mom's basement and I have 7 different Twitter accounts and I'm going to see who I can get to talk to me from each one. But they were in that thread, and I'm pretty sure that's the day that she found me, because I was like, you know, I feel like I would probably be a victim in that. And sure enough, victim,
that is
victim number one.
Ironic.
It is insane. It is crazy. I'm, oh my word. Because I just looked up her Twitter. And
it's
I'm
gone.
Like, what?
She is in the basement. eating a ham and cheese Sammy on white bread right now with mayo, and it's like it's the cheese that you unwrap. That's what she's eating right now, and she is creating a brand new Twitter account. Just so you know, I'm not there, but that's what's happening. So let's not give Nutcase any more of our time. Let's move on to one interesting thing and then more Nutcases, actually. So last week we discussed the Shinedown concert that we will be attending in 2 short months. Something like that. And we were curious, who are they going to be touring with? And we looked it up, and it was somebody that we had never heard of, the Virgin Marys. That is one word, not the and Virgin Marys. That's two words. But Virgin Marys, one word. So Kelly and I did our due diligence and research and checked out the Virgin Marys. So they are from the UK, not the University of Kentucky, the other UK. They have been around since 2009, and their latest album, it looks like, was in 2013. Kelly, you can tell us in a minute what songs you listen to. I listen to Just a Ride and Dead Man's Shoes, and I found myself not wanting to turn it off. I was definitely impressed, and I was actually watching videos, and I also noticed that the lead singer has very bouncy hair. Don't know if you noticed that as well, but
I did get to see that. I'm slightly impressed with the bounce of his hair, only because my hair is worthless. He has way better hair than I do, and I'm jealous. That's probably really what it is.
Yeah,
calm down.
I don't know how you get your hair to do that. If you're near a computer and you can Google the Virgin Marys and watch them on Vivo or YouTube or whatever, I mean, lead singer, like, super bouncy hair. And it's not long hair, but it's the body is just amazing in his hair. I hate to keep focusing on it, but it was pretty fantastic. So what did you think of their songs, Kelly?
I am a big fan. Oh, my word. I'm a big fan of, there were a couple of songs that I listened to, and I didn't, like, even stare at the titles of the songs. But I do like their sound, because the whole time I'm like, hey, this is not going to be a terrible thing to listen to waiting to listen to Shinedown.
Right.
I feel like I'm kind of a bad, maybe future fan by not, you know, like, staring at the song titles. But I did listen
not
to them,
all.
And they do sound, I mean, they're catchy, and they don't make me want to turn them off. And I think that's a good thing.
I think that's a great start, and that's pretty much exactly how I felt. So if you haven't had a chance to check them out, the Virgin Marys, and their latest album is called King of Conflict. King of Conflict. So check them out. We will be checking them out in person in just a few short months. And I hate to rush through that, but by gosh, we have 25 more minutes, and we got to get to this next topic. So one other, like, two-second topic. Kelly, you're not even allowed to say anything. Kelly did not play FanDuel this past week. She intended to. However, she missed the deadline. So pretty sure she will be back next week. And because she was not there, my FanDuel team was horrific. So moving on to what we really wanted to talk about today, and it is apparently a topic that is very popular this week, last week, whatever, recently. Netflix, new series, Making a Murderer. So Kelly starts watching it like 2 days ago.
She tells me she's going to watch it. Yeah, I'm going to check it out. And I was like, cool, let me know how it is. I'm finishing Wicked City. Apparently I was the only person that liked that show because they canceled it after 3 episodes. But were kind enough to load the rest onto on demand, so I was able to finish the season. But right away she was like, you got to check this shit out. And I did. And apparently a lot of other people are checking this shit out as well. Making a Murderer is crazy. So if you have not seen it yet and you don't like spoilers, go away, because we're going to be throwing out some spoilers, because, I mean, the whole damn series is a spoiler pretty much. So, yeah, we're going to be throwing spoilers. So if you don't like spoilers, quit listening and go get on Netflix and start watching. Pay close attention to the end of episode 4 and episode 5, both huge. But anyway, Kelly, I don't even know where we start to discuss this. Basically, this dude was wrongly convicted of a rape, and he was in jail for 18 years. And he was finally exonerated by DNA, but the bigger story, because, I mean, we know people occasionally are wrongfully convicted, but it had a strong appearance that the police were very much against this guy. And I used to be a cop, so, you know, I don't like to think, you know, I like to think that cops are on the up and up. I know not all of them are, but, you know, in general that you know, they do investigations and find criminals, but it's pretty clear that this particular department, whose name I can't really pronounce right off the bat, but they were after this dude, and it was kind of like watching the Three Stooges of police. But he did get out of jail, and then what happened, Kelly? Then what did he do?
Oh, within just a couple of years, because it was literally 2 years later, arrested for murder.
Murder.
Arrested murder. Not murder. Just like, not some petty crimes like, hey, I'm going to, you know, go rob this gas station, or I'm going to vandalize this building. Like, and I say those petty crimes, robbery and vandalism are not petty. But you know what I mean. I'm going to do something
things,
that's not. They are bad things. They are illegal, but they are probably not considered to be petty. Anyway, yeah, I'm going to go kill someone.
Kill her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love. Yeah. This is what I love, because through this whole show, and it even, like, you hear it in. What am I even saying? Oh, my word. I got thrown off there. In one of the episodes, I guess when they haven't found any human remains yet, they don't even really know that she's dead. They had already found her vehicle on his property. And they say, the police, I guess like the sheriff, says to the person that he talks to, I guess the dispatch person, but we do have him in custody, right? Like, they just assumed, just like straight off the bat, that he was guilty. I mean, like, that may stem all the way back to when he had that, you know, the run-in with the relative, the wife of the cop or whatever. I mean, like, that woman was his cousin. You know, the woman that he had the interaction with, the bad interaction, that's your cousin. You have family drama. You don't create a lifelong, like,
you don't send
a lifelong
to
problem
for
this
fake
man.
Rape. No. Mm-mm.
Exactly.
But and let's just be clear. So when they found the vehicle on his property, it was a junkyard. Okay, so it's not like his, you know, little house with the white picket fence, and it's just like his car and his wife's car, and oh, this missing, soon to be known dead woman's car is like parked beside it. No, it is a huge junkyard, so there's like cars everywhere.
But yes, immediately the cop says, we have him in custody, right? So Kelly and I have, you have finished it, right? You have finished all 10 episodes?
Yes, I finished it today.
So
it's
Kelly
amazing.
Finished it today. I'm halfway through. I just finished episode 5. And it's fantastic. And here's what Kelly and I have agreed on, of course, because we agree on most everything, is dude is guilty, okay? We don't necessarily know how or where it happened or exactly what happened, but we're pretty sure he did kill this woman. However, there was definitely planted evidence by the cops, the key, the blood, planted for sure. Possibly the car, now that I've seen the end of episode 5, that was possibly planted as well. I don't know. Maybe he moved it. Who knows? But, you know, so it likely, yes, he should be in jail. But the trial, I'm watching it right now. Well, not right now, but is ridiculous. And the guy should not have been found guilty, like, in all honesty. Yes, he probably did it. But it's like a circus. This trial is silly.
It is. And I mean, like, the thing to me is when you finish it and you look back on it, it's going to – I feel like you're probably going to look at it the same way. That whole family, and they, you know, they kind of just stay to themselves, and they, you know, they're weird. They're not really well educated. The guy's nephew, who was actually, you know, like, ended up being convicted with him, was quite, you know, obviously had a cognitive deficit.
Yes,
I use big words to say basically he's slow. Bless his heart. I mean, like, you can hear him after he's arrested. He's on the phone with his mom saying, well, I'm in jail. When am I going to get out in time to watch WrestleMania?
Yeah, did you hear him ask the cop?
It's sad. If he could go back to class by 1:39 or something. Yeah. I have a project due in 6 hours. I need to get back to class.
Yeah, and then when they were like, well, we're arresting you, he was like, just for the day?
Exactly. The kid has no grasp of what has happened. He probably has no he has no grasp of the reality that is around him, especially in this situation, because the whole time he's like, you know, and you know, of course television shows and documentaries and whatever are edited to appear the way people want them to and whatever. But the way that they put that across, when that kid was being interviewed, okay, these two special investigators, who I think are shady.
Oh, they're special, all right.
Crooked, backwards, will do whatever they have to do, legal or not, to get what they're trying to get the information. They questioned him, what, like 5 times without representation. Once they questioned him and his attorney knew about it, and his attorney's like, yeah, go ahead, go interview him without me being there. That makes sense. And when you see the last episode, you're going to see exactly why it makes sense. If I could spoil it for you, which I don't want to. But, I mean, like, it absolutely blows my mind. Because in the kid's trial, you'll see. I mean, like, I was furious today watching. And I think that comes more from, like, you know, I have worked with kids that have, you know, those types of deficits. And I've worked with kids who have learning disabilities and that kind of thing. So, you know, like, I have a heart to defend those kids. And those kids needed somebody to defend him. And his attorneys did not do that in the least. It was so, so bad. So bad. So bad. I mean, I just can't. It really blows my mind. But, I mean, crazy.
It is crazy. And for any of the three people who have watched this and think, no, they didn't do it. I watched the show. You guys are crazy. Go to your Google machine and look up some articles that talk about the evidence that wasn't portrayed in this documentary. Because, you know, I mean, and I don't fault them. They had a story to tell, and that's what they were doing, and I'm cool with that. But there is additional evidence that, you know, was not depicted on this show that leaves Kelly and me pretty certain that dude killed the girl. I mean, obviously, I wasn't there. I can't say for sure, but I feel like it's pretty likely that that happened. But that doesn't excuse the level of ridiculousness that clearly is occurring in this county that I cannot pronounce. I mean, just crazy thing after crazy thing. Like, it's clear they had a vendetta against this guy, obviously, during the first case, and pick right back up on it in this murder investigation. But I had no idea how huge this had become, Kelly. I don't know if you did, but, like, I called one of my clients today. She was like, oh, what are you doing? And I said, well, my friend got me addicted to this show. And she was like, oh, what are you watching? I told her. She was like, oh, my God, I'm on episode 3. It's fantastic. So pretty huge right now. And I just, like Kelly, I think you were saying yesterday, it leaves you unsure of our justice system. I don't know about everywhere, but definitely in this unpronounceable county, shit is backwards and it is not good at all.
I mean, it's just so, like, mind-boggling to me how, you know, but it's not just, like, you know, the cops apparently have this personal vendetta against this guy. Like, that's one thing. But for them to just, I mean, they're so blatant about it. Like,
yes.
There's one cop who, like, it's not even the same one that we were talking about before that called in the thing. I mean, he was involved in the guy's 85 case.
The
old guy that planted the key, the younger looking guy with the glasses who just looks kind of goofy and whatever, he was involved in the 85 case too. And, you know, and obviously the guy that is the sheriff now apparently was the arresting officer when they arrested him for the rape in 85. So I'm like, you know, here's these three guys who they had to turn over jurisdiction basically to the, what do they call them, Calumet County, which is the county next door, to
mm-hmm.
whatever
yeah.
the strange name is that we were talking about. But, I mean, like, they had to turn over the jurisdiction to them because there was such a conflict of interest. But the whole time, you know, these guys are everywhere. They
all up there, even though they weren't supposed to be.
Exactly. They're like instructed, like, you can't be anywhere around this without an officer from, you know, the neighboring county. They were all over the place all the time. You can't be involved in this. Well, they're everywhere. You can't be involved in that. Well, you know, who cares? They do what they want, apparently. I mean, it makes, if you take it at face value, if you just watch the show and you take it at face value and you're like, okay, this is absolutely insane that the criminal justice system is like this. Because, you know, not only were those cops crooked, you know, not only were, you know, that prosecutor, I'm not going to spoil this part for you. I don't like that prosecutor. I didn't like him from the beginning of the, you know, the beginning of the,
I don't either,
the series. Wait till you get to episode 10. Just wait. Whatever. I'm not spoiling that for you because it is fantastic. But, I mean, the prosecutor's crooked. The special investigators railroad a 16-year-old kid with learning disabilities. But the judge just lets all this stuff go on. And
yeah,
he does. Like, and you know, in the end, it shows how they, you know, they send it to, they both, of course, you know, spoiler alert, they both get convicted. But, you know, they appeal, the appeals court holds up the decision. They take it to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court upholds that decision. Like, that the appellate court and the Supreme Court are supposed to right the wrongs of any circuit court or county court or whatever on the state level. Like, they're supposed to correct those wrongs. How in the world can you shoot a woman with a .22? Like, I even know that you can't really shoot anything with a .22 and not leave a mess. Or, you know, like, slit this woman's throat like they talked about, you know, without it being, like, there has to be blood spatter somewhere. There has to. You slit somebody's throat, there's this thing, and I'm not, of course, I have no experience with it, but there's this thing called arterial spray that I've heard about on my favorite medical show. You know, that stuff's going to be, you're going to make a mess. There's no blood on any mattress. There's no blood on any wall. There's no rope burns or rope fibers on that headboard. There's no shackle marks on the footboard. There's no DNA. There's no blood on the mattress. There's no blood on the wall. There's no blood on the carpet. Her DNA is not in that house. They try to use that Auto Trader magazine and a bill of sale.
Yeah.
That you can exchange while she's getting in the car as proof that she was in that house. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That's like me going, I'm going to go to the attorney's office here in town and pick up one of his business cards and bring it here to my house and put it in my living room. And that's supposed to be proof that he's here? No.
Yeah,
no,
that proves
that's
he's
not
there.
Proof. That's proof that you went to a car dealership and you picked up an Auto Trader magazine. Congratulations. That does not prove that woman was in that house. What it does prove is that those cops and those people who had basically had it out for that guy and had it out for that family were dirty. The new sheriff, that's the other thing. Have you seen the interview with the new sheriff yet where he did the news interview?
Oh, where he says they could have just killed him.
it would have been easier to eliminate him than it would
yeah.
have to frame him. Are you kidding me? You're a sheriff.
Yeah. The
You're
dude actually
to.
Says that. Yeah.
He says
for,
that
for anybody that hasn't seen it yet, the dumbass actually says that out loud on camera. Well, like, His reasoning behind proving that they didn't frame the guy was, well, I mean, it would have just been easier to eliminate him. That is what he said. And they were like, eliminate him? And he's like, yeah. Like, he thought this was a fine conversation.
I mean, it was just, it was priceless. Just priceless to think that, like, why in the world? Like, it blows my mind. if I'm an elected official, you know, I'm going to think that I don't need to do things like tell my constituents they're losers. Here's looking at you, Mr. Trump. you know, I'm not going to, if I'm the sheriff in Taylor County, I'm not going to sit here and talk about somebody that lives in Taylor County and say, you know what, it's better, it will be easier for me to have him killed and eliminate him. They didn't even say, like, have him killed. They said eliminate him. It would be, be easier to eliminate him than it would to frame him. Like, are you kidding me right now? Are you kidding me?
Like, that is inside voice stuff. That, like...
It is.
You keep that in your head, sir. You don't say that out loud.
That's exactly right. That's not, let's say this on our local news channel and then probably let it go viral because you're such a sack of garbage. Like,
yes.
What in the world? What in the world were you thinking? What were you thinking? It blows
my mind. He was not.
Mind blown. Obviously, he wasn't. Obviously, he wasn't thinking at all. But, I mean, like, it just, I don't get it at all. Because it makes me wonder, you know, like, I'm sure that there's stuff, you know, probably kind of like this that happens a lot of places, you know, or maybe there's, you know, I don't think there's dirty cops everywhere. I don't think there's shitty prosecutors everywhere. But, you know, I'm sure that there's, you know, twists and people doing things to people because they don't like them. You know, like if I was a cop and I saw somebody I didn't like, I would look at their car and find a reason that I could pull them over and give them a ticket. Not going to lie to you. It's probably a good reason why I'm not a police officer. Don't ever put me in that kind of power ever. but I mean, you know, you can say, you know, like, I bet there's stuff, and I just say that, and now I'm mocking myself. Like, honestly, I don't think there's stuff like this that happens everywhere. Because it's obvious from top to bottom that everybody involved in this case, from the judge to the, you know, assigned attorney for the nephew, they're all in it together. They're all dirty, and they all just want this family to suffer. So neither of the judges in the Avery case or in the nephew's case, neither of them are going to bend. Neither of them are going to give. They're not going to hear an appeal. They're not going to grant any post conviction motions. They're not going to hear any of that. You're done. You're guilty. You're done. The cops, the prosecutor, the special investigators, dirty, dirty, dirty. And the whole point, I think the thing that gets me the worst, you know, is like this, the nephew's defense team wanted to get the kid to plead guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the kid, I don't think the kid knew. Like we said, we think he did it. We agree on that. They probably did it. There's no way that this kid had any grasp. If you're a 16-year-old, it doesn't matter if you have learning disabilities or a cognitive deficit or not. If you're a 16-year-old kid, male especially, I'd be willing to bet if there's a naked woman tied to a bed and your uncle walks in and says, hey, you want to have sex with her? You're probably going to do it because you're 16. And I imagine that's what 16-year-old boys do. I wouldn't know. I've never been a 16-year-old boy. Thank God. But, I mean, like, given the opportunity, I bet... wasn't thinking twice about it. Oh, it's okay for me to do this? Okay, sure. I'm in.
Exactly.
That kid probably didn't have any idea that what he was doing was wrong. He probably didn't have any idea that I'd be willing to go so far to say if his uncle told him to slit her throat like he said he did, and he did it, I don't think that the kid would even realize that it would actually, you know, potentially kill her.
Right.
I don't think he could grasp that fact. That's how
he didn't seem to
bad
be able
for this poor kid.
To. Yeah, I agree.
But,
so.
And so for the defense to not even, like, they didn't even throw out the option of, like, maybe, like, a diminished capacity defense.
No.
Like, they didn't give the kid a chance. Like, no, he's not crazy. You can't plead insanity, but you can plead that the kid's an, like, he's not just an idiot. This kid is obviously has a deficit. Kid had no idea what was going on. And the court gave him no leeway at all.
You spend 5 minutes with him, you can tell that he's got issues, for sure.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, he goes from, you know, like, I'm gonna tell you one thing right now, and you know, like, this is the story, and this is what we did, and I went over there, and he told me I could have sex with this woman, and I did, and then I cut her throat, and we put her in the fire. And then 5 minutes later, I stayed home and played video games until 5 o'clock, and then my brother's boss called, and he had to go trick-or-treating, and then I went to a bonfire, which he had apparently no idea that there was a woman in, which
right.
there probably was. But, like,
yeah.
the fact that they gave him, and I don't say leeway in a sense that because he was, you know, because he is, his IQ is 70. Like,
exactly.
I think my dog has an IQ of 70. Okay. It's not, I mean, and that's not saying that in a disrespectful way, you know, like I this kid had no chance, and his defense attorneys gave him nothing,
mm-hmm.
like nothing at all. And in the end, like, I don't want to spoil that for you either, but, like, in the end, actually, I will go ahead and find this. I'll say this, and you'll be so pissed when you get to the details in the end. In the end, you find out the prosecutor in the Avery case and that kid's defense attorney and that kid's,
mm-hmm.
the kid's defense attorney and his investigator and all that stuff, all working together. Special
Shut
investigators.
Up.
Nope, 100%. They have emails.
Wow.
You know, they have emails where saying, you know, we need to get the kid to plead guilty because basically that's going to be enough to get the Avery case just hammered down and
wow.
like settled.
I'm not surprised, to be honest with you, because, like, when the investigator, when the attorney's investigator was talking to the kid, and he had that
and he had
pager,
all those pictures.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, yes.
Oh my gosh.
He had this paper that was like, I am sorry for what I did. I am not sorry for what I did. And he wants the kid to, like, check a box, and basically tells him, though, like, no, I can't help you unless you're sorry for what you did. If you're not sorry for what you did, there's nothing I can do for you. Like, I really, if I had just, like, walked in the middle of that scene, I would have thought the kid was being interviewed by the cops. Like,
yeah,
that's
exactly.
how that's how the defense attorney investigator treated the kid. Like, you did it. I know
yeah.
you did it. You need to say you did it. You need to write down that you did it. You need to draw that you did it. And only then, and maybe then, can I help you? It was sad.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Draw a picture of how this woman looked when she was tied to the bed. If you tell me if you tell me to draw a picture of how a woman looks tied to a bed, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to draw a picture of probably kind of like the kid did, of a stick figure laying on a bed with rope. That's what I'm going to draw. Just because, I tell you what, I have never tied anybody to a bed, ever. I've never tied anybody to a bed, but you tell me to draw what a woman looks like when she's tied to a bed, that's sure enough what I'm going to draw. Because that's what you just told me to draw.
Right. And if your IQ is 70, that is absolutely what you're going to draw.
And, I mean, like, I'm hoping that my IQ is maybe just a little bit more than 70. That's what I'm hoping for.
I feel like it is. I agree. So if you have not yet watched Making a Murderer, watch it. Get Netflix. Totally worth it. It will make you angry. But read all the stuff that wasn't on there and, you know, form your own opinion on what happened in this county that we cannot pronounce or care to and will never, ever, ever visit, drive through, get near in any way, shape, or form in our lives, most definitely. So that is our time for the evening. And so I think our lessons for today, Kelly, are one, don't catfish people. And two, don't murder people. I feel like that's pretty much our helpful tips for the day.
Don't do anything to a family member of a don't do anything to a family member of a police department officer, whatever, or they will hold a grudge against you forever, apparently.
And you will apparently.
Even if you do kill somebody. And I think I started to say that earlier, but I let my mouth run off. I don't think anybody in that family is bright enough to pull off the murder the way they apparently tried to say that they did. There's no way. That garage that guy had at his house, like, that's hoarder worthy. Okay? There's so much crap piled up everywhere. If you shoot somebody with a 22 in a garage that looks like that, there's going to be blood spatter somewhere. And if you clean up all the blood and you get rid of all of that, then your DNA is more than likely going to be wiped away as well. So when they do all these tests and all they find is your family DNA, isn't that safe to say that you maybe didn't, maybe there hasn't been anybody with a throat that was split and, been shot by a 22 gauge rifle?
I would say it's fair to say.
You think that might be a winner. You think that might be it. But they're not bright. You know what I mean? Like, bless their hearts. I feel bad for them, but they're not bright people.
They're not. I mean, yeah. Bless their hearts. Not bright people.
But yes, seven listeners, watch this. Watch it.
Definitely. Watch it immediately.
It's one of the best. It's probably one of the best. It's the best documentary I've seen since Snapped about my friend's dad.
totally.
Sorry.
Totally. So on that note, I'm going to get back to watching. I got five more episodes, so I'm going to hop right into episode number six. Kelly is going to spend the rest of the evening not getting catfished.
That's exactly what I'm going to do because Kentucky comes on at 9. We're playing LSU. Go Cats. Beat those dirty Tigers.
Beat those Tigers.
But that game starts at 9. And let me say, just for the record, since we're signing off, watching Big Ten basketball, which is like Wisconsin and Indiana on TV right now, possibly one of the most painful things I've ever done in my life. 15 minutes left in the second half. The score is 30-29. Since I've started watching game, there's been 34 turnovers. Because they are too dumb in the Big Ten to know where the baseline is. So they step on it six times. I'm not kidding. I know they stepped on it at least three times since I've started watching this. How do you not know where the baseline is? How do you not know? Anyway.
Sad.
Go Cats.
So sad.
Don't get
go
Cats.
Don't get catfish. Don't murder people.
And don't murder
don't
people.
Don't piss off the popo. And listen to the Virgin Marys. Everybody have a great week. I know I will. I know Kelly will. And we'll tell you all about FanDuel next week. Talk to you later.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.